B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Van Vliet will take it up the floor. Van Vliet down to 12 seconds, 10 seconds. Waited for Leonard. Leonard catches it on the logo, steps out. Guarded by Klay Thompson, 6 seconds with 5 seconds. Leonard right side stops, feeds Van Vliet. Van Vliet, one dribble, get the corner. Lowry is blocked by Draymond. The game is over. The Warriors have won. 106-105. The lights on at Oracle. Dust those seats off. That old barn's got one more dance.
Again, that's one of the items we're talking about today. The finals. NBA finals. How that game went down last night. The choking dog gene of the Toronto Raptors returned in that ball game after I thought Kawhi Leonard had beaten it out of him. Turns out not so much. And, of course, the Kevin Durant injury. Could have massive ramifications, massive. Certainly next year. It's good news for the Celtics. I'm not celebrating the injuries like those fans in Toronto. I'm not like stamping applauding, but if you just look at it, you step back, that helps the Celtics. Whatever team Durant was going to in the East next year, you won't have to worry about him because he's going to be gone 9-12 months. If he comes back next year, it's not till the very end. And then what is that team even when he gets there? So ultimately, they might turn into something, the Knicks, but it won't be next year. Again, headline of the day, New York Daily News. Knicks lose Game 5. Love that headline, which means the Celtics win Game 5. So that's our thought on that. Again, how you can win Bruins tickets tomorrow night, coming up here in just a few minutes. David in Hull. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Mike. So definitely the Durant injury was a big thing yesterday, but can I talk about the biggest thing? You know who's skating off on this is Toronto's coach.
No question.
Not only call one timeout, Mike. He called two. He called back-to-back timeouts, which let Golden State get their energy back, and then Golden State was huge at the end. But to me, the overlooked thing is that Toronto coach is skating because of the Durant injury. Huge choke job on his part. I'll let you guys talk about it.
There's no question about it. And, you know, do you blame the coach for the final possession where it's Lowry in the corner? I mean, they came up and doubled Kawhi Leonard. What do you expect him to do there? Just fight through Andre Iguodala and a double team? I don't mind him giving it up.
So, look, I thought they executed it poorly. So, if you want to tell me that falls under the umbrella of coaching, I'm not going to argue on that one. Like, I'll tell you, at the end of the game, they lost their composure. Whether it was calling a timeout, letting the shot clock expire without getting a shot off, like, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then the play at the end of the game ended up with a contested three in the corner after Kawhi Leonard got double teamed. So where's the open guy, and why couldn't you find him?
Well, Lowry was open. He was just in the corner.
Yeah, but he wasn't open because it got blocked.
Well, Green made a good play. Green was on someone in the paint, and he came out. He closed.
So, but Danny Green was open on the right side. I just think the pressure got to him. They had to execute to get the hoop to win the championship. That's what that possession was. That was get a good shot, and if it goes in, we win the championship. Really that simple. And they cracked.
How about the timeout? Toronto's up 6 with 3 and change left, and they called the timeout.
It absolutely killed their momentum, and it breathed life back into the Warriors, like the caller just said. And that's, look, this team is going for their third straight, and granted, they're dealing with a lot of injuries, but why would you do that?
Why don't I remember the second timeout? There was 2 full back-to-back?
I don't remember the second one either.
That's what the play-by-play says.
Yeah, I don't remember it. I mean, is it possible one of those was a TV?
I don't know.
Because usually right around that, I think it's what, 6:59 and 2:59, they call the TV timeouts.
Play-by-play says Raptors full timeout at 3:05 and then Raptors full timeout at 3:05. So I don't know. I must have missed it.
Yeah, I don't remember it either.
Me either.
Again, I was, at the time I was on the air.
But either way, what a gag. I thought that the Raptors had, I thought Kawhi Leonard beat that out of him. Turns out not so much. Dan in the car, what do you got on the Bruins?
So before the series, you guys said that the Bruins, would be a failure if they didn't win the Stanley Cup. Would you agree that the Blues are a better team than you thought they were, or?
Yes, the Blues might be better than you, in fact.
Do you think that it's still a failure?
Yes. Yep, it is, Dan. Is that too harsh?
No, I don't. I can't say I disagree. Murray, you're my spirit animal, by the way.
To say that it's a fail if you lose to a team that's better than you, and I say the Blues might be. I think 5-on-5, they've carried play. They're 5-on-5, they have been better. They've outscored you. I think it's 12-10, 5-on-5. in this series. You've outscored them over the six games, 21-14. But that's all, you know, if you take out all the power plays, shorthanded goals, empty net goals, they've beaten you, even strength, 12-10.
So what you're saying, basically, is the Bruins have scored more on the special teams than they have in the even strength.
Unbelievable. The Bruins, good point, have scored more special teams / empty net goals than even strength goals.
Because they have a shorty.
Yep.
So it's 10 power plays, a shorty, and 10 even strength.
Well, no, there's empty netters in there.
Oh.
But just go with it. They've scored more on those situations than even strength. Yes, sir. So, I mean, so for me to say, I think St. Louis might be a little better, and then you lose a series, is that a fail? Yeah, it's still a fail. You are a team that is, you know, you're not quite an all-time team, but you've been one of the better teams in the league for a decade. That's established. You've got Hall of Famers on the roster. The entire field cleared out for you. You can't lose to the Blues in the finals. I'm sorry, you can't. Not when you also, the Blues may be a better team, but you've got a massive advantage in net. And you're going to, you're going to waste that? You're not going to be able to take advantage of that?
Be a hard one to live with after everything they've done to get to this point to lose to the Blues.
Little unfair. The Blues might be better, but it's still a fail. It's a disappointing failure of a season if they don't win tomorrow night. That's how I feel about it. I really do. Mike in Connecticut on the Sox. Hi, Mike.
Yep. Hey, guys. So I know the bullpen isn't great, and I know there's decent arms out there, but I think I think they're all mentally fragile enough where you got to start setting roles. I'll take Barnes in the ninth, Walden eight, and then Hembree and Workman in the seventh, because I think that will, because they have good stuff, but I don't think they can go out there every night not knowing what they're going to do. And that's all I got for you.
Okay. Does core need to define those roles?
Yes, I have felt that way all along. I think that would really help. I feel like he's starting to settle into it a little bit. It feels like Barnes is becoming his closer. The problem is now they don't have enough arms out there. Like, there's that issue too. So, you know, look.
This is more a Dombrowski problem than a Cora problem. I'm sorry.
But you know what? Cora also said in spring training that
he's just taking the company line. You don't think if they had signed good, real relievers, he wouldn't be happy with it?
Sure. But I also think he's cocky enough to think that, no, we got guys with stuff. We have plenty of talent.
He was definitely cocky, but he would not have been opposed to Dombrowski going out and spending some money and getting some real bullpen arms.
No, I mean, why would he be opposed?
All I'm saying is that this is not Cora's plan.
I don't know.
I do.
I'm not telling you. I think he was on board with it.
Yeah.
I think he was on board with it.
Well, he has no choice. He's just going to manage the players that they give him. He doesn't write the checks. He can't set the payroll.
Yeah, but that's different.
He can't tell the team to go into the tax.
No, but what he can say is, well, if we're going to cut, I agree, let's cut in the bullpen. I can get by with that.
Where else would they have cut?
Steve Pierce?
Yeah.
Could have saved yourself $6 million there.
There's one.
I mean, you know, so there were, that's just one spot off the top.
It might be the only one.
I mean,
really?
Other than, well, they could have, you know, they could have let Evaldi go and not given him $17 million.
Okay, but that's on your staff. That's on your staff.
But he's a starter.
But he can be used as a reliever.
Yeah, but he's not going to be.
Did Moreland have years left?
Moreland has 1 year left. Yeah,
no, what I mean
is, contract. He wasn't re-signed.
He wasn't re-signed this year.
No.
I just don't think this is Cora's plan. I mean, and was he opposed? Did he delude himself into thinking he could manage through it like he did last year? Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
But he doesn't determine whether they go into the tax or not.
No, he doesn't. But he thought he could manage his way through it.
Here's Mike.
He can't.
Mike in Nashville. Go ahead on Kevin Durant.
Yeah, so I laugh and listen to the fake Jim. They fear he has an Achilles, torn Achilles. What, are they afraid to look at the x-ray? And secondly, I heard a report this morning. Three teams are already going to offer him the max after this.
Oh, yeah. I still think he's getting the max.
I can't really hear him.
Oh, the phone
remove the pillow from your mouth.
I'm not sure what he was talking about with the first thing. The second, he's still going to get his money. That's not my point. My point is,
yeah, you're just going to be a year behind any of these teams that want to maybe make a move for him, whether it's the Knicks or.
There was a real chance that next year in your division, you would have to go through Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant with the Knicks. Now that's not on the table. It's just Kyrie and the Knicks or Kyrie and the Nets. That's a whole different landscape. That's a win for you.
Huge.
And maybe, just maybe, it says to Kyrie Irving, well, he ain't going to be ready for a year, so why don't I just bide my time for a year? It's just possible. I'm not betting on that. I think Kyrie's gone. But it does open the door for that. So last night was a win.
I mean, how is it not a good thing for the Celtics? Right? Like, Kevin Durant was coming east to play. Now if he comes east, he's not playing.
For a year. That's a huge win. Mike and Lynn. Go ahead, Michael, on David Ortiz. Michael! Okay, babe, call us back. I'm losing a little bit of patience. James in South Boston. Go ahead, James.
Hey, Mike. I wanted Toronto to win the series. I predicted them in seven if KD didn't play, and he's basically not going to. But after seeing that reaction to KD getting hurt last night, that changed. If Golden State's in Philly last night, I'm not even calling you today. But Toronto never wins anything, and I was rooting for them, but that's changed. I hope Golden State uses this and sticks it to them, and the Bruins have the greatest home ice in history. Go Bruins.
Okay, James. Murray, you're not a big W fan, right?
Yeah, just like that. Just with last night, I'm 100% rooting for the Warriors, like, because there's so many reasons to root for the Warriors now. I feel bad for Durant. They forced him back. He goes out with the injury, so there's that. I'm sick of the Drake thing. I'm over that and all his antics. I want Maz to be wrong, so F Maz. and the Toronto loser thing, like, I don't know. Like, one of the things that's kind of bugged me about this series is all these guys, these role players that I think are mostly bums, like your Kyle Lowry's, like your Siakam's okay, but all these other guys that are, you know, Greta Van Fleet and the rest of them there, they're playing over their heads. What you got out of Kyle Lowry in that last shot, I know it was tipped last night, that's who they really are. You saw that tightness. They've been around for all this losing when they get into the playoffs, whether it's been to, you know, it's always been to LeBron, no matter where he is, whether it's Cleveland or Miami. That's who they really are. So, I don't know. I think the funnier thing to happen now would be if the Warriors actually came back 3-1 and won this thing. So
I wouldn't rule that out.
I'm on the Golden State Warriors bandwagon. That's what I want.
We've got more coming up. But first, you want to win tickets to Game 7 tomorrow night? These are the hottest tickets in town for a long time. Get in price of well over $1,000. When's the last time we've had a game like that in town? We've had some incredibly important games here in town. I don't know about this one, though. This one might be an all-timer. Free tickets are yours for the taking if you go to the Toucher and Rich Rally tomorrow. It's tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 in the parking lot here at the Sports Hub at 55 Morrissey Boulevard. They tell you you can take the red line to the JFK stop, hoping that that train is back on the tracks. Either way, 55 Morrissey Boulevard tomorrow between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. They'll have live music, cornhole, Connect Four, and other games. And someone in attendance is walking away with the hottest tickets in town. The Toucher and Rich Rally from your home of the Bruins, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Back to your phones after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Durant off the screen. Gets Ibaka as his defender. Durant goes to work. Ball knocked away. Oh. Durant's hurt. He's hurt. He's hobbling off. Uh-oh. On the break. Ibaka goes up and got fouled by Livingston.
He's holding his right leg.
Yep.
And it looks like in the same place. I don't want to speculate.
People are cheering an injury.
It's not good.
Timeout Warriors. Kevin Durant gets up and he is limping badly. And people are cheering. Really?
Oh.
That's what you're doing?
Yeah. He's going right to the dressing room, Tim.
Serge Ibaka trying to get people to calm down. Kevin Durant's night, I believe, is done.
Woj, what is the latest you were hearing about the severity of the injury to Kevin Durant?
Well, Ramona Shelburne and I are told that the Warriors believe that the MRI today will confirm a tear of Kevin Durant's right Achilles. You know, they're essentially just waiting on the severity of this injury, but this is in all likelihood going to be a significant injury that's going to keep him out for a long period of time, perhaps even next season if this is a complete tear.
And that is a whopper in the NBA. And not altogether bad for the Celtics. Manny and Lawrence. Go ahead, Manny.
Hey, I have a question for all three of you. If Durant opts out, if you're Danny Ainge, would you take a chance on him? And I think I would, because it shows the rest of the players in the league that the Celtics, they take chances with players. What would you guys do? I think I would.
So I know it's realistic, but would you?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
You're talking about now as a free agent?
Yeah.
Yeah, Absolutely. Why not? What do you get to lose other than money? No question about it, I would. But I don't think that they have the, you know, the math to make it work. Unless they be like, you know, change up the roster a little.
He's still a franchise player. He's still going to get his contract. He's still going to get his team. He's still going to go to the Knicks or whatever he was going to do. I still think he's going to do. It's just going to have to wait a year.
Sure.
Which is a big boost to you, I think. Tom and Quincy, how'd you feel about your baseball team last night, Tommy?
Mike, you know how I feel. Hey, listen, initially I was calling because we, you know, the bullpen is atrocious. I can't even exhaust any more energy on them, honestly. They blow. But listen, I have another question since I've been waiting on hold and, you know, hearing the updates and stuff. Maybe Maz can answer this a little bit better. What the hell is a Darwinson Hernandez? And is there really, is that the way you want to go when you're going to pitch a double A kid in his professional debut against a team that you're trying to catch in the standings for the wild card right now? That doesn't sound like that makes any sense to me. And maybe it's because the cupboard's bare as far as starting pitches go beyond Price and Sale. Because, I mean, even Eduardo Rodriguez and Porcello, they've looked awful lately too. So I was just curious. I've never heard of this kid. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
Oh, no, I don't think anyone has because Murray was putting together his update last hour. And he turned to Maz and he said, how would you pronounce D-Z? What is it?
Darwinson. I would say Darwinson is how you say it, right, man?
Darwinson Hernandez, yeah. So look, he was getting some hype in spring training. He's a hard-throwing lefty and, you know, was in double A. Like,
and he sucked there. His ERA is like over 5, and he's 1-4.
So I don't have an issue, though, with them going with a young guy. Like, it's June. Like, that part of me doesn't bug me. So, you know, but the overall malaise around the team does. The other thing is they're only missing one starter, right? We were talking about this last night. Porcello's healthy. Sale and Rodriguez and Price have all made their turns. So why have, like, all these bums been pitching in the last 5 days?
It's a good point. Yeah. It feels like there's...
Weber? Josh Smith? Now Darwinson Hernandez? And I know they had a doubleheader in there. But you do look at it and say, why are all these guys all of a sudden going? Shouldn't you have just needed one of them? I mean, for the doubleheader.
It's a good point.
You needed one guy for the doubleheader. Why are they all going?
Good point. We've got Bob in Needham on the KD injury. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Felga, apparently the Mets kicked in because you actually made a very loose point about that Zamboni crew. I mean, talk about nonsense. It's not, like you said, it's not funny at all. It's like the Red Auerbach BS that the Celtics used to pull without the air conditioning. Give me a break. That guy had every right to be mad about it. And my Celtics point was going to be about how do the Celtics go from here? Because nobody wants to come here. No free agent of, like, upper level. They had to overpay Horford, overpay Hayward. No, like, top level free agent wants to come here. And that's the same for 20-some-odd teams in that league. How's that league moving forward?
So, look, Bob, you're right. It's good news, and I hate to celebrate this. I don't mean to, but I'm just saying the Durant injury is good news for you. The bad news for you is that still no one wants to come here. And you're sort of still in the same spot. You've got to sort of draft and develop and strategically just pluck a guy here or there that you think might fit, like Horford or Hayward, but still fall short of that, you know.
Megastar.
Right, that you need. You've got to trade for that guy. You've always had to trade for that guy. Garnett, Kyrie Irving, etc. Anthony Davis, if that's the case. You're still sort of in the same spot. That's the bad news.
Yes. I believe in the talent in that league. So you got to do whatever you can to get the talent and to keep it in some cases.
Mike in the truck on game 7 tomorrow night. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, I think we need to have wellness checks for Murray tomorrow night. I'm going to be praying for you, Murray. Honestly, I'm kind of concerned for your well-being. So I've put together a little game 7 checklist for you, okay?
All right.
Before the game starts, take a few moments to collect yourself. Take a few puffs if you need to settle your nerves. Set up your one big bag close by in case you need to puke. Make sure you've got a heart specialist on speed dial. Watch the game with someone that's CPR certified. And Felger, have a Murray tribute video ready to go Thursday just in case he doesn't make it.
Yeah, we loved him. He was a good guy. He's a great update, man.
I'm sick as a dog, so I really can't drink during the thing. So maybe that actually will be worse because I'll be even more nervous. I can't really, like...
You going or staying home?
No, I'm going. I'm going to go. And
I admit, it's the first thing I think of when I wake up.
It's like the first thing in my head.
What is?
Game 7.
Oh, me too.
And it's like, it's bad. It's not fun. It's not pleasant.
Jimmy off the air yesterday said, how about we film it for an off air? I was like, no, absolutely not. No.
This is real. Like, I'm just not a bit for your entertainment.
I love this stuff. I love game sevens. They're fun.
Oh. This is not fun.
One team walks out with a championship. The other's miserable. It's great.
Excruciating.
I'm locking myself in a room. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, it's awesome.
I want lots of pillows and I don't want anybody around. That's what I want. Lots
of
pillows.
I live for these things.
I've decided that when I show up, they don't play well, so I'm not going tomorrow night. I have other reasons, but I'll tell you off the air.
Thank you for your sacrifice, Tony.
Mike in Worcester on the Bees. Yes, Michael.
Mike, how can you say that their season will be a complete and utter failure if they don't win, based on the fact that you didn't even give them a chance when the playoffs started? That they're above their ceiling.
Hold on. What show are you listening to? I've picked them in every series. You want me to pick against them. You think I'm picking against them because you just want me to be that guy. Yeah. I've picked them every single series, Mike.
Before the playoffs started, you gave them no chance against Tampa Bay.
Well, right. They didn't play Tampa Bay.
I know they didn't play Tampa Bay. Didn't think they'd have to beat anybody then. Why now?
Well, Mike, I can't help you. I can't help you out. I was not against.
Oh, wah, the big baby.
I know, my God.
Like, good God. You know why? Here's why. The road. The road. Where's the gray area? What don't you get about that? The road was favorable. They got a great road. Once they got past Toronto, who did they have to play? Columbus, Carolina, and St. Louis. If someone had told you that going in, would you say they had a shot to win it? Of course you would. Why do people get upset about this kind of crap?
I don't know.
Like, what's the big deal? They got a favorable road that makes all the difference in the world. If they had to go through Tampa and Washington and who knows who else coming out of the West. Different argument, different story. Hell, they might not have even gotten to the final with the way the thing was. What don't you get about that? Like, well, where is the gray area there?
Can't help them. We continue with your thoughts. The latest on David Ortiz right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome. Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, your David Ortiz update. Really not much new from what we had before. His wife, Tiffany, sent out a statement. He got to Mass General last night, had a second exploratory surgery. He's resting comfortably at MGH, apparently. Tiffany said, her husband is stable, awake, and resting comfortably this morning in ICU, where he's expected to remain for several days. Ortiz took his first steps literally, I'm reading from the Globe, towards recovery Tuesday, according to Leo Lopez, a close Ortiz family friend. Lopez, who's currently in the DR, said Ortiz's family told him the Red Sox legend took his first steps at the hospital and that he was stable throughout the day. Lopez said Tuesday by phone that Ortiz is still in some pain and will remain in intensive care for the next 48 hours. That's that. And then there's this thing again, the why and the motive. The Daily Mail had yesterday that he may have had a relationship with the wife of a drug lord in the DR, and it was in retaliation for that. There has been another report on top of that from another entity. In fact, what feels like the main newspaper down in the DR, Diario Libre. The main, is that from what you understand, man?
I mean, it's one of them. I know that. I don't know all the papers down there, but I Googled it quickly and it said it's one of the bigger papers down there.
Okay, so I'm going to read. Maz just took this story from that newspaper, put it through the Google Translator, and so there's some funkiness with the verb tense and whatever, but you'll get the gist of it. Headline, David Ortiz had been warned that his life was in danger, was the headline. The second subhead said, according to information obtained by Diario Libre, Ortiz would be seeing a woman related to alleged drug trafficker. They write that the investigations into the attack against David Ortiz are moving fast. The attorney general down there had already warned this morning that the case did not correspond to a robbery or an action of street violence. Everything pointed to the fact that it was a personal settling of accounts, is how it reads through the Google Translator.
Big Poppy's friends say, asking absolute confidentiality, that they had already warned him of the danger he was running. Ortiz would be seeing a woman related to a suspect being involved in matters related to the world of drugs. Despite the warnings from his inner circle, these sources comment, Ortiz continued to frequent the company of the woman. This would have incited crime. Again, that's just the Google translator there. So I'll just ask you again. When you find those details, does it change the story for you in any way?
Not really, no.
No, not at all to me. I mean, in a civilized world, you catch a beating for something like that, you know? You're cheating on someone, and it's bad that you're doing it on your wife, if this is what has happened. But you're fooling around with someone else's wife, you catch a beating, you get exposed, that kind of thing is what is expected.
Yeah,
shot, you should never get shot for something like that.
That's not worthy of assassination.
No.
I mean, now look, we all make decisions in our lives that are smart or not smart. So, you know, like we can get into that discussion about it. But in terms of warranting the kind of response, whatever it was warranted, no. I mean, I told you, it's terrifying. I mean, who wants to, like, you know, be sitting there looking over their shoulders the whole time? And maybe, you know, if this was a message, maybe part of the story is here, you know, part of the message is if it can happen to him, it'll happen to anybody. Because of who he is down there. So
even if he was warned by some of his friends, and I'm sorry to cut you off, maybe, you know, him being David Ortiz and being the most popular person in the Dominican Republic, maybe hubris played a part here, and he's like, well, David Ortiz, I'm going to do what I want.
Right. So, you know, certainly I wouldn't.
And still, that doesn't warrant him getting shot in the back while he's enjoying cigars and drinks with his buddies.
No, of course not. It does not rise to the level of assassination that you are keeping bad company or, you know, surrounding yourself with questionable characters or making a mistake in a personal relationship. Those are all, you know, failings, but they don't rise to the level of deserving to be killed. So it doesn't change the level of tragedy for me or any of that. It doesn't. But because he is a public person and this is a big story, you know, those details are going to come out, and I hope they continue to be reported, and we'll tell you what is reported. But that's the deal on that. And, you know, I mean, at the very least, you know, David Ortiz is going to, you hope that he says to himself, you know, maybe I could be more careful and more thoughtful with the company that I keep. You know, maybe he's running in bad circles or just dangerous circles. And it's simple enough, like, okay, maybe it's time to grow up and sort of leave this world, given how dangerous it is.
Yeah, again, I said to you earlier, it's not unlike, you know, athletes who grow up in bad neighborhoods and then have a hard time sort of breaking the bonds that they forged over years growing up. You know, that's exactly the same thing. We just don't think of it as such because it's a, you know, it's a different country and that's where he lives. But the fact is that Dominicans really poor. You know, there's crime. There's a lot of stuff. And so, I would hope that Ortiz would reassess some of the decisions he's making after something like this.
I mean, if the drug dealers and wife, and if those are all in his orbit, maybe it's time to find a new orbit. I mean, it's as simple as that.
So the one thing I wonder, and I haven't read anything on this, so shame on me if it's out there and I missed it. And that is that typically my recollection was he didn't go places alone. Like, he had someone there with him.
Security.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, or just, you know, big hulking guys who were his buddies.
Sure,
or,
sure.
You know, and I'm sure he paid a lot of those guys. And I wonder if he had someone there with him. And they missed it. Or they weren't expecting it. They got caught. Like, because, I can't imagine he would go to a public place, down there especially, and not have some sort of protection around him.
Okay, back to your phones, as promised. Don Ortiz, Mike and Lynn. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, you know, the question is he going to be safe when he goes back there?
Okay, so if he's not, don't go back there. Bring your family out.
And that might be easier said than done, though, because like Matt says, it's...
His father's there, yeah. You know.
Is he still in danger? You think that whoever was after him didn't prove his point?
I mean, I don't know. It depends on what their objective was.
Good Lord.
So, like, again, if their goal was to end the argument... And then he's not out of danger.
Stephen Pawtucket, your thoughts. Stephen?
I'm calling about David Ortiz. I think we have to be careful because we don't know the full extent of that relationship, whether it was an old relationship or anything that happened. But I know jealousy plays a big part when someone wants to get a, you know, retaliation over some stupid stuff. And if it was a drug lord, he probably wouldn't do that to jeopardize his business.
So maybe not. You know more than I do, maybe, Steve and Pawtucket. I have no idea.
I just, you know, at the base of it, I knowing what I know of Ortiz, which is, you know, just as a public person, it's unfathomable to me that he did anything that warranted that. You know, and what does warrant that? Someone taking your life, you taking another life, you hurting someone badly, hurting a child, like things like that. You say there is some retribution coming your way. David Ortiz is not capable of doing the things that are on that short list of things that would be worthy of that response last night. That's all I know.
Yeah, I mean, again, I told you in the time I spent around him, and it's been a long time, I always found him to be a pretty warm, engaged, genuinely warm and engaging guy. Okay, so now the particulars here, I don't know. And in a lot of ways, like you said, in some ways, it really doesn't matter. So the story is stunning. Stunning, but we all know there's going to be more stuff that comes out on this.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. We'll reset some Bruins thoughts. We're getting farther away from Game 6 and closer to Game 7. As we hit that timeline, how do you feel about the team and their chances? We'll ask that question right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
We need 60 minutes of our best. We've had pockets of that. I thought Game 5, we played pretty well. Obviously, we'd like to have the better start. We did the other night, didn't result in the lead, but it certainly puts you in a good place. So that's our goal tonight, on-time start.
Right of the net, fired, they score! Brad Marchand!
It's a lot easier playing with the lead, and they play a different game when they have the lead versus when we have the leads.
High slot, walking in Parayko, tees it up, Rask the save as he took that blast right in the midsection. Rask reached up with a left hand and stared it. High slot, fired by Dunn, Rask the save, rebound Petrangelo. I thought that was in, the puck rebounds over to the near side.
It was Charlie McAvoy who saved the game.
It's a team effort, you know, like, you know, you may have to make a save and then you try to keep it tight.
Carlo, Rister, Binnington, they score!
Here's Petrangelo to the goal. Save is made. O'Reilly shooting, and oh no! Rask was down, but again it's kept out.
We heard a horn, Curbs. This is a goal.
You saw it go over the line?
I did. I saw this go in. This is a goal. Yep, 100%.
Pastrnak shoots, he scores! Charles going to try it long range. Shoots, he scores! And the Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 to decide the Stanley Cup.
We just want to try to focus and do what we've done all year, which is prepare and try to play the same game. We're not going to get caught up in the excitement about it. We're just going to try to prepare and focus the same way that we did tonight.
We have a hockey game to win. That's all really that matters.
The whole hockey world loves a Game 7, so it should be a great night in Boston, and may the best team win.
All right, Jimmy Stewart's look back at Game 6, Game 7 tomorrow. As we get farther from Game 6 and closer to Game 7, Maz, how are you feeling?
Less certain. Less and less certain with each passing day. And this is typically how I feel after any game, that in the immediate aftermath of it, you have, you know, what we would call a recency bias, or that you're just caught up in the emotion of the game and it's still sort of, you know, in your system. So you come in and go, wow, what a great win. They're going to win Game 7. Then the next day, you're a day removed from it, and then you say, I don't know what the hell is going to happen tomorrow night. How could you possibly know? Then you wake up on game day and there's some of the anticipation and maybe you start feeling a little differently one way or the other again. But I think in the middle, how could what happened in that game have any real bearing on this one, less, you know, short of an injury or whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah, nothing's really translated in this. The only trend was the Blues sort of taking over somewhere in that Game 4, Game 5 range. I think those were similar games, and St. Louis sort of imposed themselves. Certainly nothing you've done has translated to the next game.
No. And really, the whole series has been that way. It's just gone back and forth. One team gets down, they get angry, they hit back, then the other team hits again. Like, you know, and it's been ongoing the whole way now. So here you are, and now they're in the same boat. Now they're both in the same spot.
Who's a better team?
Overall, it's been the Blues. The better goalie's been Rask. The better Rask. The better team has been the Blues.
Who's been the better team?
The Blues.
Jimmy, who's been the better team? He's not listening. Jimmy Stewart,
I was looking for a piece of sound.
My fault. Who's been the better team?
The Blues have been.
I mean, haven't they pretty clearly been the better team?
Yes.
I mean, and I'm not telling you they've been better by a lot. I think they've been better by percentage points, but I think those percentage points are clear.
Yeah, I think the Blues have had the Bruins on their heels more than the other way around.
I think St. Louis has dictated more of the series than you have.
Absolutely.
And you've needed special teams to win some of these games. And I historically have no sympathy for teams that need power plays to win. I've never liked those teams.
Trick teams.
And I've always sort of said their day will come. And they usually do. And I'm not saying the Bruins are that totally, but they're more that than St. Louis. And they are dependent on special teams. So I really don't like that piece to them. So I think St. Louis has been better in the first six games. I think that they've dictated more of the play. I think they made it hard on you to get to where you want to go to than the other way around. I think you've relied on special teams and goaltending. And the goaltending's not going away. That's still there. The special teams, who knows? Who knows what?
Hey, you're just making my stomach hurt. I'm not...
You can have an ulcer, Murray.
I actually bagged out of work today or like tomorrow, and I still want to go. There's too much time to think about this and their flaws and the fact that they do kind of stink 5-on-5 against St. Louis in this series. The pressure of playing at home.
Well, look, typically the better 5-on-5 team wins. And also, look, and I think the Bruins believe that. Again, Cam Neely couldn't shove it down our throats enough back in 2011 because he believed it then. I'm sure he believes it now. The saving grace for the Bruins is that the last game was their best game 5-on-5. I mean, they were good 5-on-5 in that game. Were they better than the Blues? No, but I would say they played them even. I mean, and they have more skill to finish than the Blues do. So, and they have a better goalie. So if the Bruins, if it's a similar path as last game, well, then I think the Bruins are in good shape. If it's not, they're in trouble.
Murray, like others, you're all bent out of shape about Craig Berube and something he said yesterday?
I hate his guts. I really do. So that's the one good thing. I will say this. Credit to the Blues. I've learned to hate them. I really do hate them, and I hate their goon coach. So I saw some comments before they got on the plane to come to Boston yesterday. He said he wants to see more physicality, saying some players might have held back because of the possibility of suspension. He credited the Bruins for boxing out well and said the Blues have to find a way to get inside more. But saying they held back because of the possibility of suspension in Game 6, okay, maybe they got a talking to. But I read that, and I'm sorry. That makes me nervous about these guys headhunting, especially early, and trying to take guys out. Not to send a message. What's the repercussions going to be? Nothing until the following season. So anyone gets suspended, they're not going to feel it until the coming season. It's about the cup tomorrow night. It's the final game of the year. Everything's going to be on the table here. So these guys are going to be, I think he's trying to pump them up to get a little extra dirty, as if they haven't been dirty enough in this series for tomorrow night, especially early. So maybe they're going to try to take out some of the more important pieces of the Bruins. Like that, I don't know how you can read that and not be concerned about that.
Okay, so he has been widely quoted as saying he thinks that his players were fearing of suspension in Game 6, so they may have laid up physically. Did he actually ever say that?
So didn't I send you the actual quote this morning?
You sent me the actual quote. He mentions nothing about suspension.
No, he doesn't say suspension in there, correct.
So I think someone, and for some reason we don't have sound of it, was it even recorded?
That I know of, no. I was reading from the Blues reporter that covers them for The Athletic.
Okay, is that Jim Rutherford?
Yeah, I believe that's who it is.
Okay, can you pull up his original tweet?
Sure.
Okay, pull up his original tweet.
Jeremy Rutherford.
This Jeremy Rutherford tweeted out just what Murray said, that Craig Berube thinks that his players weren't as physical in Game 6 because they feared suspension, implying that that's not there in Game 7, and you all are losing your mind.
I mean, I just read that tweet verbatim. That's what he said, because of the possibility of suspension.
Okay.
That's what he wrote.
That's what he wrote?
Yeah.
I don't think Berube ever said that.
No, and this is why I sent you that tweet, because again, if you go by the comment that's in the transcript, unless they took it out of the transcript, which, by the way, I wouldn't say is a complete zero in terms of chances.
Here's a transcript that Maz or Matt Kalman tweeted, or someone?
Matt Kalman tweeted it.
Okay. Question to Greg Berube was, why don't you think you were as physical as you had been? Answer, well, I don't know. Who knows what goes on, what goes through guys' head, things like that. A lot of times, you just don't get there in time to make the contact. You don't really want to chase it, but when it's there, you're on your toes. I think a lot of it, personally, just watching the game today, our puck management wasn't great to make the hits. Things like that. Also, too, I mean, maybe it runs through their head that they don't want to take a penalty making a bad hit. We've got to be aggressive. That's our style. That's the way we have success. He never said anything about worried about taking suspensions.
No, so again, but he. So now that I think of it, he did say penalty, and Maybe he said penalty and Rutherford wrote suspension.
Yeah, well, we don't have sound, so I'm choosing to believe that he was talking about suspension. So I'm not going with what the transcript says. They're trying to bury it.
The transcript is what was actually said.
Oh, and I'm going to take that as gospel? I'm going with what was reported first by a Blues reporter.
Yeah, but
this guy's an a-hole.
He didn't put it in quotes. It was a summation of what he said, and he got a word wrong.
No, it's what I saw first, and that's the truth.
See, now, I think that, again, either way, I think he's saying the officiating's a factor. Like, because he says penalty, right? So now, again, being tossed out of a game is a different thing. You want to be available game seven.
The gist of it's the same, but
yeah.
No,
he didn't say suspension.
But it's also not.
He's trying to goose his own goon players to be more headhuntery and dirty in game seven, and he's trying to intimidate the refs again like he did after game three. I hate Craig Berube.
I'm not sure he's done that there, though.
So I think he's tweaking the refs.
You do?
Because they don't want to take a penalty. I think that's his way of saying, the way these guys are calling it, the Bruins are flopping all over. I think that's his way of doing that. But the suspension thing, the word suspension was never in the transcript. Never there.
Thank you. So I think that was just sort of mis-summarized by that reporter, and people here have run with it. I don't think he said that.
It doesn't feel like it. Again,
unless he did. I haven't seen the transcript. I haven't heard the audio.
Now, look, I've seen...
They're trying to hide it.
I've seen... So, Murray, the only thing I'll say is
the opposite.
The only thing I'll say is this. Teams, I've seen teams leave things out of transcripts. I've never seen the league do it.
Yeah, these are league transcripts.
Yeah, it's been a bad postseason for the league. With all their bad
another black eye on the NHL.
See, Jimmy knows.
Guys, you're pathetic.
But when he says,
I am pathetic.
Maybe it runs through their head that they don't want to take a penalty making a bad hit. Like, again, to me, that's him saying, we have no idea what we're going to get from the officials. So who knows? The Bruins are flopping. They call them.
Okay,
and we say something. We're complaining about the officials.
Does it worry you that they have carte blanche in game seven? Don't have to worry about a suspension until next year? And
yeah, yes.
It doesn't worry me as much.
Yes, because I think the Blues, when they're at their best, are just, I'd say reckless, but just smashing into everything.
Headhunting pieces of bleep.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't even go to the headhunting part of it. I don't, because, look, the thing on Johansson happened, and if you want to go all the way back to Grizzlick, fine, we can do that too. I think they just hit you every chance they get.
And I have a heart. It's just my the way I'm wired. You know what I'm going to say, don't you, Boston?
Yeah.
If your team was the Blues, you'd love them. So I just find it fraudulent, and I can't go there with you to call them headhunting, goons.
POSs.
Headhunting pieces of bleep, because if that were your team, you'd love them and celebrate them. Big, bad Bruins. You love that kind of team. But now it's them hitting you, and you need the power plays,
yeah.
And now they're headhunting pieces of crap? Mm-hmm. I can't go there.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Fairness.
Yes, thank
I'm a
you,
little,
yes.
I'm biased at this time of year. There's one game to go, and I want the Bruins to win. I want all the power plays, and I want Berube in jail.
Nights in jail.
That's why I should be the commissioner of sports.
$5,000 fine.
Go to your fan boards. Why don't you guys go to the fan boards and cry about Craig Berube on your own
time? Oh, I do. I have Twitter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.